Hey everyone, welcome to Story Nerds. I'm Jessica Kate.
And I'm Hannah Davis. And today, you guys, we have a fantastic special guest. And her name is Rachel McMillan. Everyone cheer for Rachel! Rachel,
Welcome,
can you
Rachel.
tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do?
Well, my name is Rachel, and I live in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. And I write books, and I actually write two kinds of books. I write contemporary romances, currently set, a series set in Vienna, Austria. And then I also write historical mystery romances set in Boston. My current series is set in Boston. The first in that series is called Murder at the Flamingo, and it just released in July. Other than that, I just read books all the time.
Sounds like us.
That's what I do.
You're our people.
Yeah. Yep, that's me.
Awesome. So today's topic, because Rachel's new contemporary series is set in Vienna, and it makes such a big part of the story. I've read the first one, and it was really great. I love Carl. Everybody's going to love Carl. And so we're talking about setting as a character today. So Rachel, would you like to kick us off with your thoughts on that?
Well, for me, and it's kind of interesting that I'm writing Vienna, because the first book I read that really, really I fell in love with a setting, I was 10 years old and I read Vienna Prelude by Bodhi and Brock Taney. Mm-hmm. It's the first in the Zion Covenant series. And it was the first book I read where I thought, oh my gosh, I want to go there. It became my dream city because of that book. And I've read that book to shreds, and it inspired, you know, when I got older and I could afford to travel and go, I spent time in Vienna, and it's all because of that book. And when I got to Vienna on my first trip, I found that I knew my way around the city because I had read Vienna Prelude so many times. And Bodhi Taney describes it so brilliantly in her fiction that it became like a working map. And so because I was so influenced by that book and the detail she went into, I thought that really influenced the way I write. So I've written a series. My first series is set in Toronto, where I live, but it was really important for me to be able to bring Toronto to life, even though it's set in the Edwardian era. Mm-hmm. And then Boston, I knew when I wanted to set the stage in Boston, I thought I'm going to have to put in my research. It's not a city I live in, but I want to make sure that it becomes as alive to the readers as a book like Vienna Prelude was to me. Mm-hmm. Because I think books have the propensity to inspire us to want to see more of the world. Mm-hmm. And so setting, whether it's Stars Hollow, the fictional town in the Gilmore Girls, or Avonlea, you know, Ella Montgomery's Avonlea, we get a really keen sense of that. People have wanted to go to Prince Edward Island for well over a century because she paints it so well. Mm-hmm. So when I'm drafting a series, I think about the characters, the human characters, but I always think about what about this place do I want to draw out to hopefully inspire people to learn more about the history and the culture of a place that I'm representing.
Mm-hmm. That's so beautiful. Awesome. And it's so true. I think that the way what you described as saying a setting is a way to kind of inspire people to visit that place. And it's something that as a kid, we always heard, you know, explore the world through books. But I think my understanding is every book that I've read someplace about, it's like, I want to actually go there. It's not that I can explore it through a book, which I can, but it's like, I want to be there. I want to see it. I want to read this book in that place.
Yes.
So that's beautiful. I love that you brought that up.
Mm-hmm. And also Vienna, not everyone, you know, I don't have a family. I mean, I have nieces, but I don't have an immediate family of a husband and kids of my own. So sometimes it's a little easier for me to be able to go to different places and research, but not everyone's going to get the chance. But with my Vienna set series, I make sure that every book in that series, which so far I've plotted four of them, takes us into something that is quintessential Viennese. So the first book is the opera ball and waltzing and coffee. The book that's coming out at the end of September, Rose in Three-Quarter Time, is all about the orchestra scene. So she's a violinist, he's a conductor. The third book takes us a little bit more into the history of the Habsburg Empire, but I want to give people the opportunity, if maybe they've not ever been there or have the opportunity to go, to get a slice of it. In the same way with Boston, I've had people who live in Boston who've read Murder at the Flamingo, but have never actually paid attention to some of the things that were happening in the 1930s, mm-hmm. but the book inspired them to go and revisit neighborhoods in their own city. And
that's fine.
Yeah.
All right, Jess, tell us about yours.
So, I have a little list of my favorite books and stuff that have settings as characters in them. But before I talk about the list, I think it's a great point that Rachel's making about people wanting to visit places, because Hannah and I, before we started rolling, were talking about the movie I saw 2 nights ago, Crazy Rich Asians. And Singapore tourism is having a massive boost off the back of that movie. And I was listening to an Aaron Sorkin interview a while ago, and he was talking about how NASA had approached him to make a Mars movie because they wanted the funding to go to Mars. And stories are so influential in what people are interested in and what people do in the real world, that this is how they're trying to shape culture to get their funding or to get their tourism boost and stuff like that. And it is an actual driver of economies and stuff like that, and story influences all that. So I mean, where would Australia's tourism be without Crocodile Dundee?
New Zealand, right, where our friend Kara Isaac lives and writes such beautiful places, mm-hmm. Lord of the Rings. But Crazy Rich Asians, Singapore had never been on my list, and then it hopped into my list of I must go there.
Mm-hmm. It's huge. So that's my introductory comment. How about you, Hannah?
I think that one of the things that I could talk about for a long time is, yes, the places that inspired me to visit, but also the feeling that I get from those places more than anything. Mm-hmm. So I could list off a number of places and books and TV shows and movies that we'll talk about later. But the big thing for me is just... I want to go somewhere and feel like I'm a part of this town. And I think that's the strange thing about having a fictional setting based on a real town, is I like to go to that town and be like, oh, that's that coffee shop that inspired that place. And then it's like, oh, but I know the person behind the counter. Oh, wait, I don't actually know the person who's the barista behind the counter. So it does. It really inspires you to travel. It inspires you to go places. But it also inspires you to meet people and to see things in a different perspective. So
I think the difference between just having a setting and having a setting as a character is you get that vibe, like you understand what makes this place different to other places. And there are books that don't do that, or TV or movies that don't do that, and there are some that do, and those are the ones where I think the setting is a character.
I am going to tease, right before we head off to our podcast, I am going to tease the fact that one of the top ones that I picked was from, shockingly, Susan May Warren's Christensen series. And actually,
I'm so surprised.
I know, right? She actually included Deep Haven in another series before that too, but Deep Haven is set in the town that I had visited in college before I had found Susan May Warren as an author. And I fell in love with this town from the second, like, there's a nice little like hill. It's not a grade, it's not set on a mountain. But it's a nice little hill that you drive in to this town. And I remember the first time I was with my freshman year of college. I was with my freshman year roommate, and we had gone on a road trip, and we came into Grand Marais, and it was like the second we could like top that hill and we saw a town, it was like, this is going to be my favorite town ever. And it was so fun for me to have that setting reappear in her stories later and be like, I've been there. I know that town. I love that town. So... anyway, Rachel, talk a little bit more about Vienna. What are some of the sights and sounds and things that really inspired you to incorporate those into your books?
Well, as I said before, Vienna Prelude, which I read when I was a kid, you know, as people will always, I think that what we've been talking about is settings that really inspire our imaginations and really excite our imaginations. And when you're a kid, what you envision kind of becomes a catalyst for the things that you love when you get older. And your imagination as a kid is different than any other time in your life. And so reading Vienna Prelude when I was 10 years old, that city was imprinted on my mind in the same way that some people read Anne of Green Gables and loved Avonlea, or the Little House on the Prairie books, or Fellowship of the Ring. Setting is really important because we're at a point where our imagination is forming. So I immediately fell in love with Vienna because it seemed like this perfect white Baroque city, Baroque the period in the 18th century where everything was gorgeous and gold tinted. And it's funny because so many people in my life that before I went on my first trip there said, what if it doesn't live up to your expectations? It's been your dream city forever. And what I found was that it actually exceeded it, and that never ever happens. So Vienna
Wow.
is what I describe as being too much whipped cream. Everywhere you go, it is absolutely beautiful. There are musicians on every corner in little chamber quartets playing their cellos and violins. There's Mozart everywhere. There's torts and cakes and whipped creams and beautiful windows. But I would say some of my favorite sights in Vienna, one is the Musikverein, which is the concert hall. And that is in Vienna Prelude, where Lisa, the main character, plays her violin. But it also just they have so many orchestras there, and you go in, and the main concert hall there is called the Goldener Saal or the Gold Hall because it's all in gold with these beautiful statues. It's too much. It's just too much. It's such a perfect city. I also really like St. Stephen's Cathedral because it shows the resilience of the city. It was actually bombed in the Second World War, like so many famous cathedrals and beautiful historic places in Europe. But going into it now, you couldn't even tell. It's a medieval cathedral with the bells that kind of toll throughout the city. It also is a steeple that you see from anywhere. So if you get lost wandering around the old quarter in Vienna, you just have to listen for the bells and look for the steeple and find your way back. Another thing I really like about Vienna is the Sacher Hotel, which is this gorgeous old 19th century hotel, and it's where the Sacher Torte comes from. And it's a famous cake that is a torte with a layer of apricot within gorgeous rich chocolate, and the city's kind of for it.
Holy smokes.
Vienna is coffee and whipped cream and beautiful old buildings from the Habsburg period. And it was kind of when it was one of the leading families and empires in the world, and that kind of disintegrated with the First World War. But Vienna is a beautiful city full of music, and as we see every year, it always ranks as the most livable city in the world. So the people are very kind, and it's gorgeous, everybody. And if you go on the train a few hours, you can go to Salzburg, see all the Sound of Music stuff. But Vienna, for me, is full of people with beautiful manners, lots of music, who you step back in time because they treat people like ladies and gentlemen. There's little bows, there's clicks of the heels. It's very much like stepping in a fairyland, and that's kind of the spirit that I try to evoke in the heroes that I create in this Vienna series, is that they have to have that Viennese gentleman quality, which I think is something that we've lost in so much of our North American and further away. modern culture is the holding a door open for a woman, sliding a chair out, treating her like a queen. I think that women, for all the bad boys and for all of the modern conceptions of romance that we have, there's something to be said about the art of a gentleman, and that's something that Vienna loans quite well. So, yeah.
I'm pretty sure that you just turned into a travel agent for Vienna, so I'm ready to go right
Dream job.
now. Just, drop my job right now and leave and just travel to Vienna. I can find a job there, right?
I wish. I want to move there every other day.
Right, just tell me a little bit about what your choice was. We didn't quite get to it in the intro.
I have to say, my number one choice when someone talks about a place with a setting that stands out is the TV show Heart of Dixie. My friends and I just love
Wade,
it.
she has a love affair with the South, y'all.
I guess for us especially, I mean, Aussies, we don't see America that often, although I get there fairly often it seems. And so we see a lot of like California or New York and stuff on TV. We're very familiar with that. But to see a show that's set in Alabama, when I tell people that it was filmed in LA, they are crushed. They hate me for telling them that. they're so cut. But yeah, the fact it's set in Alabama, they all have Southern accents. My gosh, why don't we have more Southern accents on TV, people? Like, shows would just be more popular if we had a bigger variety of accents.
I say the
Like,
same thing
why don't
about
all
Australian accents.
the That's it. We need another Southern show, and we need an Aussie show, and it'd be really good.
Well,
But
you can't forget the
yeah.
British, but we get more of that than Aussies, so.
Yes, we do. We get a bit of British, but yeah, it's really cool. And they do have, you kind of learn a bit about the Southern belle culture through what's her face, blonde chick.
Lemon, that's your name.
Lemon, how could I forget a name like Lemon? Man, I made fun of that when I first started watching. I was like, Lemon, and then a few episodes in, I kind of got it. yeah, it's just so different, and it's really fun to see, and I really love it.
My favorite, like I mentioned kind of before in the intro, being a Minnesota girl, I claim Minnesota is my home state. I've lived in several others, but being a Minnesota girl, like I said, in college, I had taken a trip up the North Shore of Lake Superior one random weekend, my freshman year of college with my roommate, and we came into Grand Marais. We actually made it all the way up to Canada. But yeah, we spent some time in Grand Marais on that trip, and it's been a favorite spot of mine ever since. It's seriously the cutest, smallest town ever. It actually makes you feel like you're on this like quaint little seaside town in Maine, except for there's no good lobster. But there are really great things to eat. There's really great hiking. It's just a beautiful, beautiful area. I love driving up there. So I'd already fallen in love with the city, and then I was homesick because I was living in California, and I was desperate for some Minnesota, anything Minnesota. I mean, like the four leaves that fell off our tree in our front yard were like, that's my fall, you guys. I was wearing boots and a scarf and sweater, and I was like, this is gonna happen. And I remember reading, it was before the Christensen series had come out, but I remember reading the series prior to that that Susan had written about Deep Haven, which is based on Grand Marais, and it was just like coming home. Like I was like, oh, this is so much better. And of course it made me more homesick than it probably helped. But it was like I felt back at home, and it was like I know exactly where that curve is that she's talking about. I know the lay of the area. It's one of those things where I just immediately fell in love with the books, partly because I was so obsessed with the setting to begin with. And it just was one of those stories that enraptured my heart because she starts building this town and then she continues it into the Christensen series. And I go sometimes when I go on trips up to Grand Marais, I stop by the coffee shop and I'm like, I wonder who inspired the barista's character. And like, I'll drive by places and be like, I wonder if they're like best friends.
I have to say, as an Aussie, that's something that never really happens for us, is that, or unless you read like specific Aussie books, which I never really do, but you never see where you live represented in the stories that you're reading or what you're watching on TV, which is part of the reason why I'm so keen for one of our upcoming guests, Kara Isaacs. Her next book comes out at the end of the month, and it is not only set in Australia, it is not only set where I live in Queensland, it's set in my town. It's set in Toowoomba.
I didn't
And
realize
the dude's a
that.
dairy farmer. My dad is a dairy farmer. When we were on the farm, we weren't in Toowoomba, we were somewhere else. But I'm like, dude, this is my life. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But so for the first time, I'm going to read a book set in a place that I know super well and about things that I know really well, and it's gonna be really unusual. I find it weird. I tell people when I travel to America, I'm like, guys, this looks like the TV screen. Like in Australia, you have reality and then TV like looks a certain way and that is not reality. So we just think it's TV land. But then you go to America and you're like, holy smokes, it actually looks like this. I feel like I stepped through this,
Rachel, I want to know what other books have inspired you as the form of setting too? I know we talked about the Vienna Prelude, but what are some of your other books that you've loved? Books or TV shows or movies? I guess it doesn't matter, but.
Another book that really inspired me is actually, so I said I'm visiting my parents right now. So I usually live in Toronto, which is a huge city in Canada, but I'm actually north in a place called Orillia, Ontario, and about half an hour from here is a place called Bala, Ontario, and it is where L.M. Montgomery, Lucy Maud Montgomery, who wrote the Anne of Green
Yes.
Gables series, set my favorite book of hers, called The Blue Castle. And it's one of the two books she wrote for women, or for adult women, not for kids. And it's a marriage of convenience story set in the 1920s. And I discovered it as a teenager and learned that it was set, she renames the town, but it was set in the cottage country that I grew up in and spent all my summers in. And so that book, The Blue Castle, became something even more special to me because I recognized
Oh.
every part of the setting. Because L.M. Montgomery, though she, was born in Prince Edward Island and lived there for a while, spent most of her life in Ontario and wrote most of her books set in PEI actually in Ontario. And so she would go on vacation there. And so The Blue Castle was a huge one. I also am very, as I said, I really like to travel to the places that inspire me. And everybody loves Jane Eyre by Charlotte Bronte, and that's wonderful. But I also, my favorite book of hers is a book called Villette, which was published after Jane Eyre and is set in Brussels, Belgium. And I went to Brussels for the first time earlier this year just to track down all of my favorite scenes from Villette. So that's another, but I'm a huge for, I mean, the Sherlock Holmes series I've
Yes.
always loved because it evokes London in the Victorian era in
He does
such a
such a
beautiful.
good job of that. I love Sir Walter Scott.
Yeah, and I think that it's really important that we look at setting as how it influences our imagination. I of course think that Melissa Tagg is someone who does an incredible. I mean, I want to go to a place that doesn't exist because of her.
Her love of snow just comes through so strongly.
Becomes everything in those books. The snow is magic. But definitely The Blue Castle, definitely Sherlock Holmes, definite Villette by Charlotte Bronte. To Kill a Mockingbird, I have still never been to Alabama. It's one of the few states that I have not been to. But that book, when I was growing up, I really got a sense for the entire town that Scout and Jem lived their childhood in, from the courthouse. I could envision everything. So those are some of the authors that I think of many do a good job of painting a setting that I want to spend some time in.
And I just realized too, I said Sir Walter Scott, and I meant, I was like, oh wait, that wasn't the
Oh,
right author. It
okay.
was like
I
Sir
was
Arthur
thinking
Conan
like,
Doyle. It
who
was another
knows?
sir. I just came out,
All
which is
those
so
old
dumb because
ladies.
I've read like the whole anthology, like all of his collection of short stories. I can't believe I got that name wrong, but
It's okay because he does a great job of setting too. I mean,
yes.
Scotland became a tourist destination for British people because Sir Walter Scott wrote those amazing stories like Rob Roy. So he was one of the first novelists that kind of give people a sense to, I want to travel here. So they're both good at what they do.
Yes. All right, Jess, tell me a little bit about one of your next favorites.
Well, my last one, we'll have to wrap up about now, but I have to give a shout out to Krista Parrish's first book.
Yes, so much.
Her description, I mean, her description, I've read her first three books, and the description in them is always amazing. But Another Way Home is probably my favorite out of the books. And it is, and in that one, the setting really is sort of an external representation of what's happening on the inside of the main character. It's been a while since I read it, so I can't even remember her name, but the main woman is someone who is very broken from the life they've led so far and has a lot of scars, a lot of emotional issues, and she moves to this tiny mountaintop town, and all the people there, like, they are just poor and they have suffering in their lives, if they don't have physical pain because there's like terrible healthcare services there, then, you know, they're caring for a very disabled son, or they have, you know, they've lost children, or there's just this like obvious pain in every character, yet they're all really gritty, really gritty. They press on, they don't give up, but it's this town just like really stands out the way she describes it and the suffering that people go through. And it's sort of broken on the outside the way that she's broken on the inside. And the book is sort of about her getting to a place where she's able to leave the town and start her journey of healing and leave some of that brokenness behind, the same way that eventually the town gives her a lot, but then she needs to leave and go to a different place. So
I love that you bring that up. Just how a setting can really mirror the person, or sometimes be the complete opposite, in a very like good irony, in the fact that it really brings out some of the things in a symbolic way of what the character is going through. And I love that you brought that up, because that's another fantastic thing that settings do, is that in a way it also plays a catalyst in invoking emotions and invoking certain pieces of what the characters are going through.
And I didn't even consciously realize it till I was thinking about my list for this episode and running through books in my head, and I was like, oh, Krista Parrish. And then I was kind of like, you know, the town really represents what the character's doing. Like, it doesn't, it's not so obvious, it smacks you in the face, but yeah, you realize that it has added to your experience of the story without you even realizing it. And yeah, it's really well done.
Oh,
she's an amazing writer. Krista Parrish, and yeah, she's great.
So I think that wraps up our topic for today, everybody. Thank you so much, Rachel. It has been awesome having you.
Yes, it has been. It's been so fun.
And thank you so much for having me. And just need to get one more under the radar here. Christy by Catherine Marshall. That's a, please, everyone, read that.
Okay.
Oh my gosh.
We're going to have to do a part two, because I have another five I can talk about.
Right?
We'll awesome. Make plans for a part two, and we can go dive deep. Words come out of my mouth, people. But awesome. Thank you so much, Rachel, for joining us. It's been seriously so fun to talk about Vienna with you. I want to go to Vienna now. It's a problem. Considering how much,
please. It comes out September 30th by Rosen 3/4 time. It's a lovely love story, and I think that you guys will like the hero, and he'll make you all giddy inside.
We'll put a link to your website and make sure that people can go and buy the book. So I can't wait to read all about it. All right.
Okay. See you all next time.
Bye. Hey guys, if you want to continue the conversation, you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/storynerds and on Twitter at storynerds_chat.
Or you can find us individually. I am on Instagram and Facebook at Jessica Kate Writing and on Twitter at JessicaKate05.
And I am on Instagram and Facebook at Hannah Davis Author and on Twitter at Hannah D Author. Join us next time to tune in and nerd out.
Bye.
Bye.